tonight, hope tonight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Wildfires in Southern California are driven by Santa Ana winds. People think of them as a desert wind because it's hot and it's dry and it comes sailing toward the coast from the direction of the Sonora and Mojave Deserts. Fact is, it's high-pressure mountain air forced down from high and dry altitudes, and it heats up because it's being compressed by the drop in altitude. That's when the trouble starts. Malibu to San Diego sizzles and wildfires are burning people out.
We're just losing homes left and right. It's a pretty desperate situation. Fires, unfortunately, faster than we are, so best I can tell you so far is we've lost at least 100 homes, if not more than that.
That's San Bernardino County Fire Captain Dave Benfield. He's just talking about the Arrowhead Lake area there. In San Diego, North County Fire Chief Bill Metcalf.
The situation continues to be bad, continues to deteriorate. In fact, the weather's getting warmer, drier, and the wind has been increasing in velocity.
Dozens of homes gone there. No break from Santa Ana winds until at least the end of tomorrow. It's like a bellows blowing any embers into big, fast-moving wildfires, particularly when the season's already been dry.
It's a tragic day in Diego County and for California. The devastating fires in this county have killed already one person and injured four firefighters.
That's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. No telling how many homes have burned overall. San Diego County Sheriff William Calender.
This fire will probably be the worst fire this county has ever seen.
President Bush says it's time for Congress to pony up again for the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan.
America should do what it takes to support our troops and protect our people.
Mr. Bush says this money is for the basics, like bullets. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says there won't be a blank check this time, and House Democrats say the request won't see action until early next year. How long does it take you to pick a candidate? Well, not as long as you think.
300 Princeton students were told by a psychology professor, Alex Todorov, to look at a pair of photographs for one-tenth of a second.
It's a single glance impression.
And from that glance, guess which of the political candidates would win the election. 7 times out of 10, they were right. People feel from the photos they can tell who's more competent.
Most of the time, it's not something that even you consciously register. You just make an impression.
Todorov says politicians should know the power of that snap judgment. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Can't do eggs and sausage every day. Eat your cereal. It's good for you. CBS's Barry Bagnato on the latest medical advice.
A new study finds whole grain cereals can lower heart failure risks. The more servings per week, the better. Harvard researcher Luke Jouzet says although men were the subjects here,
we have no rationale for expecting different findings in women.
This study in the archives of internal medicine.
Wall Street, the Dow gained 45 points today. NASDAQ was up nearly 29. Oil prices, $87.56 a barrel. That's down $1.04. This is CBS News.
It's one of the greatest things for trucks and SUVs since mud flaps. It's Silent Armor technology with DuPont Kevlar, one of many innovations at your Goodyear retailer. And now get up to a $40 cash card by mail-in offer with a purchase of 4 select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 9/30 through 10/27/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchase is subject to credit approval.
You know, a wise man once said, do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life. Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted in millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
Costing more to go to college these days.
A new survey from the College Board shows four-year public school tuition and fees are up 6.6%. The percentage rise was a little lower at the more expensive private colleges and universities.
A big part of the problem is that family incomes have been quite stagnant in recent years. So families don't have increasing ability to pay these rising prices.
The College Board's Sandy Baum says the easiest way to pay is to plan ahead.
This is not something that people can reasonably pay for out of their annual income.
She says financial aid is not keeping up with the rising costs. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
This is enough to give any parent the willies. Children in the Dutch town of Barneveld at a playground were having fun playing with an old artillery shell. They had found it there, buried just under the surface, thought it was fun to sit on, toss around and such. For months they played with it. Then the bomb squad found out, came and got it, took it to the range, and blew it up. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of CITGO demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. CITGO, there at every turn.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? Well, it doesn't have to. The answer is simple. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda certified used cars. Oh, and don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Never met a girl that makes me feel as good as you do.
I think Katrina's ready. Sumi, the dog's ready. I pronounce myself ready. Are you ready? Get ready for a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco, where Indian summer is underway. A little delayed, but I'll take it. We got a lot to talk about on the program today. We'll kick it off with Jameson Foser from Media Matters here in just a moment. Going to talk about the latest threats from Rush Limbaugh. Also, Ken Silverstein, an able writer and journalist, Washington bureau chief for Harper's Magazine, will join us. His Harper's cover story is entitled Mitt Romney, How to Fabricate a Conservative. And Mitt came out squarely against the United Nations last week. He wants to start an intergalactic league of hair. Or something like that. Next hour, Reese Ehrlich returns to our program. His new book about Iran is called The Iran Agenda, the real story of U.S. policy in the Middle East crisis. Over the weekend, Darth Vader Dick Cheney piped up again.
Can't let them have a nuclear weapon.
And Ari Melber from The Nation will join us today to talk about Senator Chris Dodd, who's carried out a plan to put a hold on the bad legislation, the compromise bill coming out of Jay Rockefeller's Senate Intelligence Committee that would legalize the law-breaking, yes, immunity. We can't have immunity for immigrants, but we can have it for telephone companies and federal officials who broke the law by spying on American citizens without a warrant. We'll talk about that, and we'll take your calls in the Free Speech Zone. We're going to get a review of that new movie called Rendition. I got a chance to see it over the weekend. Gary Chu, our film reviewer from Sacramento, will be joining us right before the end of the broadcast today. So wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm glad you're with us. And a shout-out to our listeners on Big Sky Radio 1490 in the Laurel, Montana, Billings, Montana area. I was talking to Rich there at the station today. And I noted that we're still waiting for our first phone call from Big Sky Radio listeners. And he said, well, lay some cash out. So, $10. All right, that's my final offer. First caller from the, I think it's the 406 area code. If you get on the air and you have something interesting to say, I'll give you $10. We just want to make sure that the transmission's being received and that it is available to you in Big Sky Country. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Big Sky Radio carries this first hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. If you're hungry for more, go to peterbcollins.com, and that's where you can find our podcasts available and easy to download. That's peterbcollins.com. Jameson Foser is one of those senior fellows at Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Hello, Jamo.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. I had a great weekend and caught up on a lot of things. Got to see this new film rendition that we're going to talk about a little later. But toward the end of last week, I was stunned by a couple of developments. Stunned? No. Intrigued. Rush Limbaugh, of course, slammed Iraqi veterans who complain or criticize the war as phony soldiers. And when asked to apologize, he gave a phony apology on behalf of your organization, Media Matters, as if it were your fault that he slimed veterans who've served in Iraq and who now disagree or maybe always disagreed with the policy of that war and occupation. And it is interesting that, again, he's tried to blame Media Matters for his own bad statement and failure to apologize.
It is. His response to this has been pretty dishonest. He's edited the tapes of his own comments to make it appear that he was talking about something he wasn't talking about. He's generally been fairly dishonest about it across the board. One thing that's pretty interesting, though, is how much he has defended himself on this. He's doing television to defend himself, which is not something that Rush Limbaugh has historically done when he's made comments that generated some controversy. So
he also appeared on a lesser light conservative talk show, and I've never seen him do that before. Over the weekend, I was scanning the dial, and I heard a replay of the Glenn Beck program, which tends to engage my wretch reaction. And there he and Rush were chummily talking about right-wing talk radio.
Yeah, you have to wonder if he's more concerned this time that his comments are actually going to hurt him, and maybe there will be some accountability. But in the couple decades that he's been on, he doesn't traditionally do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a result of the phony soldiers comment, there was a letter that was signed by a huge number of senators, and they mailed it to Rush Limbaugh, again asking him to apologize to the troops for the comment that he made. And he decided to put that letter up for auction on eBay and said that he would match the winning bid. And he got a lot of free publicity in the weekend newspapers, as I guess the bid came in at over $1 million. And strangely, or not so strangely, it was a right-wing foundation based in the D.C. area that made the winning bid. And they said they did it to support his free speech rights.
Yeah, I don't remember them supporting MoveOn's free speech rights when Congress formally condemned MoveOn for exercising speech rights. Some of the coverage of this Limbaugh controversy has been a bit absurd. Daniel Henninger, who's the deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, wrote a column in which he suggested that Media Matters is anti-free speech because of our role in this Limbaugh controversy. Henninger also hadn't said a word when MoveOn was condemned. This is all fairly bizarre. MoveOn was actually formally condemned by a vote of both the House and the Senate.
Right.
What they're focusing on in this Limbaugh case is simply statements criticizing Limbaugh that were made by various members of Congress. There has been no vote, there's no formal condemnation, and yet all of a sudden there's all this outrage that his rights are being trampled, which is all fairly absurd, particularly if you compare it to what happened just 2 weeks earlier. And it's a pretty good indication of how hypocritical a lot of these people are. It's also noteworthy, I think, that in the media coverage of this Limbaugh controversy and of this the eBay auction and all of this, we've seen a lot of news reports that simply present that Limbaugh argument that this is some sort of anti-free speech action that was taken against him without noting that just 2 weeks earlier, Congress condemned to move on. It's really a shocking omission that news organizations shouldn't be making, but they are. Limbaugh's little stunt here has paid off, and he's gotten a lot of news organizations, and not just Fox News and the Wall Street Journal, but the Associated Press, to kind of go along with it and to omit some very important context, and also to sort of buy his story about what he was talking about when he called soldiers phony soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We just posted an item today about the Associated Press and their pattern of getting this wrong, of falsely reporting how this all played out originally, what Limbaugh said, when he said it. In one case, the Associated Press said that Limbaugh had been talking about this one individual soldier previously. In fact, in the radio show in question, he later talked about one specific soldier, and that was several minutes later. So a lot of the news reporting around this has kind of gotten the story wrong and done so in a way that's benefited Limbaugh. So maybe his little PR offensive here is paying off to some extent, but certainly he seems like he's bothered by it more than he has been by previous little flare-ups around his comments.
Now, here comes a clip from Rush Limbaugh just about a week ago. This was on October 15th, and you can hear this clip for yourself and read a transcript at MediaMatters.org. Just search for the items that were posted on Tuesday, October 16th. And this is remarkable. We'll talk about it after we listen.
Here's who it is that's funding this ProPublica bunch. It is Herb and Marion Sandler, legendary capitalist, multi-billionaire, builders of a financial empire, philanthropic allies of Peter Lewis and George Soros. They're ponying up $10 million a year for a charitable venture to supply investigative reporting at no cost to newspapers, which are laying off editorial employees and others as their business model becomes obsolete. Efforts are being made to wrap this propaganda venture in the cloak of pure public interests. And ProPublica, does it? You know, it's a Latin name. Does it not sound like something a bunch of socialists have come up with? ProPublica. The board comprises a distinguished multi-ethnic panel.
Now let me see if I can fast forward here.
Holders of the purse strings. There's
because he starts to tell his
money's
own little
worth and
story.
More. And. Or who have been let go. So the same journalists who weren't doing their jobs in the first place are now going to get hired to not do their jobs as well as they have been. The whole thing is a ruse, and it's a tax dodge. The whole thing is a tax, since it's giving away its work, it's a tax dodge for these donors. So no longer tethered to the responsibility of earning their...
Okay, I'm fast-forwarding.
Maybe I should found ProDestroya and get a bunch of people willing to do investigative journalism on these investigative journalists. You know, anti-publica. They get to sit there. Who are these people that get to act as though they are sin-free? That they are clean and pure as the wind-driven snow? That they got no skeletons in their closet? They can go out and dig up dirt on, and everybody's got dirt. They can go out and dig whatever up, and then they can slant it and taint it, smear it, lie about it, do whatever they want. And nobody examines who these people are. And if you try, they get mad. Well, we're journalists. We're immune. We can't treat us the way we treat other people. I've had journalists tell me this. Well, we're journalists. Well, you can't. Why are you immune? Why are you immune to the same kind of destructive reporting and behavior that you dish out? You know, we...
Now, here comes the story.
I practiced it once.
Just once.
I'm not going to tell you the story because I don't want to give it away. And I would have to mention names, and I'm not going to mention names, but there was a cover story on me coming out of one of the big news magazines, and it was going to totally mischaracterize me and what I do and how I do it. And we found out who was writing it, and
we
made a couple phone calls to the person writing it, and we said, you know what, we're going to find out where your kids go to school, we're going to find out who you knocked up in high school, we're going to find out what drugs you used, we're going to find out where you go to drink and do, we're going to find out how you paid for your house, we're going to say that, you know what, you are no different than Al Goldstein, you both masturbate, you're no different than Al Goldstein, and you're both journalists and so forth. Look, a guy started screaming on the phone, just went, you can't do that. We said, watch us.
Well, it took a long time to get there, but that is the amazing comment that he reported on his show last week. JMO, I'm a little late for the break here, so let me take it, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Great.
Jameson Foser with us from MediaMatters.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Jameson Foser's with us from Media Matters for America at MediaMatters.org. And, JMO, the clip took a little while to get going there, but it's amazing the little story that Limbaugh told in the context of this new reporting service that Herb and Marion Sandler, who made $1 billion on world savings and have decided to do something good with their money. I'm intrigued by the concept, and he glosses over that they hired a guy from the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, what's really shocking about how angry Rush Limbaugh is about this is that this is an organization that hasn't even done anything yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't done anything to make him angry and is being run by a former editor of the Wall Street Journal. And yet he's this hostile towards it that he just denounces it. He's obviously just, he has a problem with the very concept of journalism.
Well, and to tell that story about how he threatened, intimidated a reporter into, you know, cleaning up or sanitizing a story that was being written about him, that's something that Rush really shouldn't be proud of and shouldn't be bragging about to his national audience, even of ditto heads.
No, you know, this is the second example in about a month of a conservative television figure kind of going off in a similar way, suggesting basically threats to journalists. Bill O'Reilly, about a month ago on his show, had this extensive tirade warning, quote, every corrupt media person in this country is on notice right now. I'm coming after you. He went on to say, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. You'll have a camera up your nose. Said at one point about journalists, if I could strangle these people and not go to hell and get executed, I would, but I can't.
Well, and then we have Michelle Malkin actually carrying out this kind of vigilante journalism, driving by the Frost House to try to establish that they made too much money to qualify for the S-CHIP program.
Right, right. So it's this kind of weird situation where O'Reilly and Limbaugh, at least, are both so bothered by just acts of journalism that they feel the appropriate response is to personally threaten journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And Limbaugh, you know, you should keep in mind that as he's ranting about investigative journalism being so bad there, he likes it in some cases. He likes it when it's just shots at progressives.
Yeah, Matt Drudge does great work, according to Rush.
Right. Rush Limbaugh rushed onto his radio show to tout a report that Vince Foster had been killed in Hillary Clinton's apartment. It mm-hmm. wasn't true. It was a lie, but Rush Limbaugh didn't have a problem with that. In fact, he eagerly repeated it. So this whole notion that, you know, he's just seeking fairness here is flatly wrong. He's mm-hmm. against journalism that isn't just hackery in aid of his side.
Now, Chris Matthews at his 10th anniversary party admitted that the White House, particularly Dick Cheney's office, had tried to silence him and set his agenda for him. Do we have any information about who this, which magazine it was, and which reporter received the Rush treatment?
Well, Limbaugh didn't say, and we don't know. There's a New York Magazine film critic who has a piece on the New York Magazine website. He thinks he knows who it is. He thinks it was Time Magazine, mm-hmm. and sort of pieced it together from some of the details that Limbaugh said on the air there about the fact that it was a cover story and other things. So he thinks he's figured it out. I haven't gone back and read the article that it would be if this is the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of beside the point. It, to some degree, what happened, what's really telling here is Limbaugh's attitudes towards journalism to begin with, and, yeah. and second, his apparent belief that it's okay to threaten journalists in this
way.
Well,
he's bigger than all of us, we understand. Richard in Fortuna, a quick comment?
Yeah, Octoon there. I thought it was a Russian KGB or a mafia.
Uh-huh.
We know where your children live?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we know what drugs you took. Now, isn't this an interesting reflection of Russia's inner life?
Well, once again, what a shocker.
We know who you knocked up in high school.
Well,
said.
I know who I knocked up, and I'm raised in the 60s, so I pretty much took everything.
All right, Richard, thank you very much. And I want to recommend Jamo's column at MediaMatters.org. It's right there on the homepage under Jamison Foser, where he starts off talking about Al Gore and then tries to help Tucker Carlson face his own demons. Good reading there. Thank you, Jamo. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Peter. Take care.
Jamison Foser from MediaMatters.org. Ken Silverstein from Harper's joins us next to talk about Mitt Romney.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Smart Balance Buttery Spread and by the Diehard Automotive Battery with reliable starting power when you need it most. Available at Sears. I'm Charles Osgood. Do American consumers hold Chinese products in particularly high regard? Not according to a CBS News poll.
35% of Americans think that products made in China are more dangerous than products made in other countries. 55% think that they're not. At the same time, 56% of Americans rate the quality of Chinese goods as only fair or poor. Only 11% think they're excellent or very good.
And yet, as CBS News correspondent Celia Hatton has reported from Beijing, the Chinese can take comfort in what the American consumer buys.
Products stamped made in China have gotten some bad press, but that hasn't stopped Americans from buying them with open eyes. 71% of participants in a CBS News poll check to see where their purchases are made, and 65% say they buy Chinese items.
There's a good reason for this, which we'll go into in a moment. For some time, I've enjoyed this great buttery spread called Smart Balance. I love its buttery taste and the kind of nutrition it stands for. It's naturally trans-fat-free, has no hydrogenated oils, and it's an excellent source of ALA omega-3s. And Smart Balance taste is so great, it won the Chef's Best Award for Best Taste, awarded to the brand rated highest overall among leading vegetable oil spreads by independent professional chefs. So, if you're looking for a great buttery taste and a spread you'll feel good about, try Smart Balance. These days we're loading up our cars with much more than we used to, multi-disc CD players, GPS devices, cell phone chargers, even DVD players. And all of that's coming from a single source, your car battery. It takes a toll. It's time we had a car battery that was just as advanced. For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Diehard Automotive Batteries. Get yours at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com. Polls like the new CBS News one that we've quoted reflect more what Americans pick up from the media rather than what they pick up at the store.
People have that idea because defective imports or dangerous imports from China have been in the news. Statistically, it's not the case that even in the United States that China accounts for a disproportionate share of product recalls.
Or so says Arthur Kroeber. He is an economist and director of Dragonomics Research in Beijing.
China now accounts for a large amount of the goods that are sold in the U.S., and so naturally it accounts for a larger proportion of the recalls.
So it is not a question of buyer choice, really.
You go to the store, and everything there is made in China, and so you have a choice of buying nothing or buying the Chinese stuff.
Ergo, says Kroeber, that explains a lot.
Even though people are paying attention, it doesn't seem to have that much impact on their buying decisions.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance.
Yes, the presidential election is coming up next year, and got a head start. Certainly feels like we've been in the primary campaign for years now. But actually, things are starting to take shape. And in just a moment, Ken Silverstein, the Washington editor of Harper's Magazine, will join us. We're going to talk about his new story called Making Mitt Romney, How to Fabricate a Conservative. And there's some very interesting behind-the-scenes angles that Ken brings to coverage of this campaign. And Romney, of course, is polling fairly well on the Republican side, is one of the top three at this point. It's Giuliani, Romney, and then Fred Thompson. And it's John McCain in a distant fourth on their side of the issues here. And it's also interesting just in the big picture to see that to date, the top four Democrats, that's Clinton, Edwards, Obama, and Richardson, and they're not necessarily in that order, sorry, Obama fans, they've raised about $100 million so far. And the top four Republicans have only raised about $30 million or $35 million to date. And that's a very interesting snapshot of where public opinion stands and where the betting action is and isn't as we head into the 2008 cycle. Ken Silverstein joins us now. Ken, welcome back to the PBC show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I was really delighted, as I usually am, to get the latest issue of Harper's in the mail. And your cover story, Making Mitt Romney How to Fabricate a Conservative, is a fascinating look behind the scenes. Before we get to that, I did not avail myself of the opportunity to watch the Republicans, sans Sam Brownback, get into one of those debates again. I guess it was on television last night. Did you?
I confess I did not. My daughter turned 13 over the weekend, and I was completely shagged by then. I didn't want to do anything.
Well, I made it through 60 minutes to see Valerie Plame. We'll talk about that on the program a little later today. And I also had to catch up on Bill Maher on my my TiVo device. And then I watched that new Masterpiece Theater thing about the British populist woman who wins prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty interesting. I thought it got off to a good start. But I decided, too, that I didn't need to hear Mike Huckabee pray again.
Yeah, I felt I could skip it myself.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about your trip to Gervais Street. Is that how we say it in Columbia, South Carolina?
Gervais Street, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gervais, is, as I describe it in this story, which let me just right off the bat say is now available online at harpers.org. We posted it today.
Great.
That's, as I describe it, it's Washington's equivalent of K Street. It's sort of power central in Columbia, South Carolina, which is the state capital. And, you know, all the big lobbyists and PR consultants and everybody else in, who's important in politics has offices there. So it's funny because I spent, I had two separate trips to South Carolina and probably spent a total of 7 or 8 days in Columbia. And I spent most of that time on Gervais Street or within a block or two of Gervais Street.
Mm-hmm. And it is also an interesting enclave for political consultants with presidential experience, because as we saw in 2000, that's where the McCain Straight Talk Express rolled over, crashed, and never recovered.
Well, the McCain campaign, the McCain-Bush primary in South Carolina in 2000 is generally thought of as the dirtiest campaign in American, modern American political history. And, you know, most of the dirtiness emanated from the Bush side. No one's, you know, there was a lot of emails that couldn't be traced and phone calls without caller ID and internet, just all sorts of stuff that you never really could trace it back. But one presumes, because it was all this extremely rabid anti-McCain stuff, that the Bush campaign was directly or indirectly responsible. You know, McCain's wife was accused of being a drug addict, and he, you know, it was said that he had a black baby, and, you know, there was a lot of racial stuff that was being tossed out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, as I said, it really is thought of as the absolute worst campaign in history. The man who ran the Bush campaign in 2000 in South Carolina was Warren Tompkins, who has an office right off of Gervais Street, and he's now working for Mitt Romney. Now, I should say, you know, Tompkins has always denied that he was responsible for the dirtiest stuff, but he has acknowledged that the goal of the Bush campaign was basically to destroy McCain in the eyes of social conservatives, which is why he said we went to Bob Jones University. Bush made the famous speech there at the time. The university banned interracial dating. And so they, you know, they wanted to destroy McCain as a conservative, particularly as a social conservative. So although none of the really nasty stuff was traced to Tompkins, I don't think either that he was entirely innocent of the nasty.
Ooh. Ken just crashed there. We'll call him back. We lost control of that telephone line. And maybe that's the NSA working for Mitt Romney. No, I don't want to spread paranoia and rumors like that. If you have a question or comment, Ken is with us to the top of the hour. And if you want to ask about Mitt Romney, about how the Republicans are running their campaign this year, feel free to give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Still got $10 for the first call from the 406 area code in the great Big Sky state of Montana. So feel free to check in from there. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. And my personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com if you would like to drop me a note. Well, as Ken was in the process of telling us, the operation there in South Carolina is a stronghold for the Republican Party and its presidential candidates. And the scene in 2000 was amazing, that John McCain was slimed so badly by the Bush operatives. And in some ways, I feel McCain is still shell-shocked from that, because how else can you explain his embrace of the religious right, who he properly labeled as quite dangerous in his own candid remarks back in 2000. And now he's made pilgrimages to Roanoke and sought the imprimatur of all the religious right leaders. It is breathtaking to see what that did to John McCain, and as I say, that in some ways he still seems shell-shocked and has not quite recovered. We got Ken Silverstein back. You were cut down in the middle of a sentence, Ken.
I don't know where I was at exactly, but I was saying that Warren Tompkins, who ran the Bush campaign in South Carolina in 2000, and who's probably the most prominent consultant in the state, is now working for Romney. I think that he's getting paid $12,000 a month and one of a number of consultants on the Romney payroll down there.
And his company is called TTS Strategies, right?
Right. That's I believe he has several others, but I think that's his main firm. It's curious. He's not only a political consultant, but he's also a lobbyist, which sometimes has led to some interesting conflicts of interest. But that's probably another story. But he has several firms, and he does both political consulting and lobbying.
And he denies that his firm had anything to do with the anti-Fred Thompson website that you describe in here called phonyfred.org.
Right. That was a story, actually, I must give credit where credit is due, broken by the Washington Post, where you had this website, an anonymous website that was put up, and it attacked Fred Thompson as a phony conservative and called him moron Fred and idiot Fred, I believe, and I think even pimp Fred, all sorts of nastiness. And it turned out that it was put up by a top employee of Tompkins' firm, and so the denials from the Romney camp, or certainly from the Tompkins camp, about how we had nothing to do with the website are a little bit hard to understand, given that it was a top official at his own firm who did it. I mean, he was portrayed as basically a rogue employee, but I'm not sure I quite swallow that. I know a lot of other people don't. I would expect...
Well, just on the rogue employee question, let's just check here. Earlier this year, Barack Obama was blamed for the Hillary Clinton ad that was lifted and superimposed or doctored from the Apple Computer 1984 ad, and there was a single guy from Blue State Digital, if I remember that correctly, a firm that does contract with the Obama campaign, and he said, "Oh, I just did that for fun on a Saturday afternoon." Are these equivalent denials in your mind?
Well, I have to plead a little bit. I have to plead ignorance on the part of the Obama situation. I recall it, but I mean, if it sounds very similar. I mean, it's very hard to accept that an employee of the firm that's working for Romney would have done this, without some sort of authorization. I mean, my understanding is that this is a trusted employee, a senior employee who's very close to the campaign, and the idea that, he would have on his own decided, hey, this is a great idea, it doesn't really sound terribly credible. I mean, that's the way you get fired. I mean, you're not going to do something like that without telling the boss. At least that's my take. Unless, of course, mm-hmm. the boss has said to you, go out and do what you like to do. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm speculating here. But either way, it's just hard to imagine that this was completely, this was done completely without knowledge or approval of the Tompkins.
Now,
boss.
in your article in Harper's, Ken, you cite a report earlier this year from the Boston Globe. They obtained a PowerPoint presentation from the Romney campaign entitled Primal Code for Brand Romney. Tell us about this.
Well, it was a 77-point PowerPoint, and it basically laid out, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of Romney's presidential bid. And it sort of laid out, you know, how he should define himself. It said that he should run, you know, he's got this problem. He's from Massachusetts, which, of course, in the minds of most people, most Republicans, is not a very popular state. So he's going to run, according to this document, and I think this has been borne out by his campaign, as basically a foil to Ted Kennedy and John Kerry. He'd sort of run against his home state. He'd also run against Hollywood and even France, which I love that. France was the enemy. And another enemy is moral relativism. On the other hand, in talking about the problems, it said that one of the problems for Romney is that he wouldn't, you know, the image that he might not be a tough wartime leader, the issue of, you know, him being a Mormon, and the issue that he might be perceived as being phony and as a political opportunist. And as I said in the story, you know, it's an unfortunate perception, but by any reasonable standard, it's true. I mean, he's shifted dramatically in branding himself, if I can use the consultant's terms.
And let me lift a quote from your article here. The image of slickness is heightened by Romney's appearance and persona, which might be genuine, but because he seems like a computer-generated composite, invariably appears contrived. Everything about Romney looks and sounds manufactured. The pretty blonde wife, the five Leave It to Beaver sons, the jutting Dick Tracy jaw, the ramrod straight posture, the say cheese smile, and the Reagan-esque hair, which even the campaign PowerPoint worried might be too perfect. Earlier this year, it was revealed that Romney had spent several hundred dollars of campaign funds for the ministrations of Hidden Beauty, a California company that describes itself as a mobile beauty team for hair, makeup, men's grooming, and spa services. That's even more than John Edwards paid for a haircut.
Well, I thought the funniest thing about it was that the woman who actually did him up said that he really didn't even need the makeup, and I'm quoting her now. She said, he's already tan. We basically put a drop of foundation on him, and we powdered him a little bit, which I think is pretty funny. I mean, it's hard to know with Romney because he really does look like, you know, a candidate out of a political campaign 101 textbook. And so it may not be entirely his fault. I mean, it may just be that, you know, the looks and the hair and everything else really is the way Mitt Romney has always been. But, you know, given this, you get the sense that, you know, it's hard for him to communicate now even in normal English. He's always, you know, everything sounds like it's a campaign speech. And so it enhances, you know, his personal appearance, I think, enhances the image of him being a prepackaged candidate.
We're going to take a break and return with Ken Silverstein. This new article in the brand new issue of Harper's is called Making Mitt Romney, How to Fabricate a Conservative. Ken Silverstein with us for another segment. Lines open for you, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. What are you going to do about it?
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
T
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
UFOs over Monterey Bay appear to be as common as fish in the sea and birds in the air. We are not alone. This Saturday, 11 a.m., be bold. Go where others dare not. Share your stories of UFOs and other strange happenings over, under, and around Monterey Bay. 11 a.m. Saturday on Progressive 540 KRXA, your radio station. New eyewitness sightings, UFOs over Monterey Bay.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Ken Silverstein, Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. His article is called Mitt Romney, How to Fabricate a Conservative. And Ken, give us a quick sketch here of what his strategy is in South Carolina, how it ties in with the presumed first states, Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary. How much money is he spending, and what is the potential ROI, the return on investment for this great capitalist?
Okay, I'm going to try to keep that all straight and answer it in order. I mean, first off, his campaign in South Carolina, which is generally his campaign, his strategy, is pretty much the same word as elsewhere, which is to run far to the right. I mean, he looks like he's staking out everybody else's position and then going further to the right, because his whole strategy is based on being the electable conservative. He's banked heavily on Iowa and New Hampshire, where he spent an enormous amount of money on TV ads. And he's done the same in South Carolina, but to a lesser extent. He hasn't spent quite as much there, but he's pouring a lot of money into South Carolina. What he wants to do is win Iowa and New Hampshire, and at that point he assumes, perhaps correctly, that it'll knock everybody out but Rudy Giuliani, and then it's him or Giuliani, and that the far right wing of the Republican Party, the core base of the Republican Party, that is, will not swallow Giuliani, and so they'll go, well, we may not think Romney's perfect, or we may not even like him much, but he's better than Giuliani, and we've got to stop Giuliani. So I think his strategy is obviously, to win the early states, he's spending heavily, and to run as far as the right as possible, and to simply outlast McCain and Thompson, and maybe Huckabee if he could get beyond that 5 or 6% mark, and outlast them, which he may be able to do because he's got so much of his own money that he can spend, and make it turn it into a Giuliani versus Romney race, which he thinks he can win. Mm-hmm. Again, it's an interesting strategy, and he could be proven right. I mean, I talked to Warren Tompkins, his consultant down in South Carolina, if I can just quote him.
Yep.
He said, if it's Romney versus Giuliani, we win if we do our job right. Social groups, right-to-life organizations, the Bob Jones crowd are all sitting on the sidelines, but Rudy scares them, and when a conservative alternative comes to the top, they will move there. And they want Romney, of course, to be that conservative alternative.
And is it going to be a hold-your-nose thing for the evangelicals, where they've got a choice of Romney, who used to be pro-choice, and Giuliani, who kind of seems like he still is a little bit pro-choice, but he tries to dance around it?
Well, if it gets down to that, I mean, if the Romney strategy pans out and that's what it gets down to, yeah, I think, I mean, Romney has some support among social conservatives. It's not as if he's got zero support, but I think a lot of people would turn to him to stop Rudy. So, yeah, I think you'd have a segment of the party that would hold its nose and say, look, Giuliani's been married 3 times. His own kids aren't going to vote for him. You know, he's very dicey on abortion and gay rights. We cannot accept this, so we have no choice but to go for Romney. I mean, I've heard social conservatives say, I mean, social conservatives have told me, and I'm sure some of your listeners have probably heard this along the way, too. If Giuliani is the nominee for the Republican Party, the party will lose, you know, the ability to use social issues to a large extent. I mean, how are they ever going to bash the Democrats on social issues if Giuliani is their nominee? It makes it very tough. So mm-hmm. I think you'll have a lot of people who just won't back Giuliani.
Now, last week it sounded like Mitt Romney was channeling Jesse Helms because he attacked the United Nations, called it a failure, and said that he wants to set up his own League of Democracies. Is this like the intergalactic Mitt Romney League or something? I mean, the idea of creating some new international body is not something you just toss out in an aside.
Well, it's entirely in line with his rhetoric, though. As I said, he looks to be just, you know, taking the most extreme positions, because his job and his campaign's job is to transform the moderate Republican governor of the most liberal state in the union into a rabid social conservative and heir to Ronald Reagan. So he's constantly doing this. He wants to double the size of Guantanamo.
Yeah, I was about to refer to that.
Does he actually even believe this? I seriously doubt it. I mean, it's just that he's staking out positions and trying to sound the scariest to some people and the most acceptable to others.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, John McCain is having a hard time catching up. I saw his interview on the PBS NewsHour, and his angle is to claim, A, that the surge is working, and B, that this was his strategy. And he glosses over that he had demanded, while he is trying to run against Rumsfeld, he has said that, he knew for a long time that we didn't have enough troops there, and he advocated for more. But he advocated for far more, at least 100,000 more. And the 30-some thousand that Bush tossed in this so-called surge doesn't even come close to meeting that. And I also think it's very risky for McCain to imagine that a year from now, things are going to be better in Iraq and look good for him.
Oh, the surge politically was just devastating to McCain. I mean, as long as he could say, well, you know, they're not doing what I want them to do, and that's why it's a failure, it was, you know, a sort of winning strategy. But once they, even though they didn't, you know, deploy as many troops as he was calling for, they sort of embraced the strategy of more troops, and that made it extremely difficult for McCain. I mean, there are other issues that are hindering McCain's candidacy. You know, I mean, social conservatives don't trust him either. They hate the McCain-Feingold Act. You know, they're very opposed to him on immigration. So there are a number of other issues. But Iraq is just, it's a real difficult issue for McCain, and he's paying the price. And, you know, he too, obviously, all political candidates, Romney's not the only one who's posturing. They all do, needless to say. And McCain, it's sort of embarrassing to watch him woo the religious right so fervently after what happened to him in 2000. But, you know, Iraq is among the big problems facing the McCain camp. And I think he's in too big of a hole to climb out of, though. You never know. Given the weakness of the Republican field, I would say any of the four main candidates could somehow emerge, just because no one has seized the imagination of the Republican base. It's still up for grabs.
Well, interesting, too. I heard Tom Hartman earlier today citing a recent poll that showed that John Edwards actually polls better against Romney and Giuliani than Hillary Clinton does.
Is that right? I didn't see that, and I actually haven't seen polls that back that up. But I'll take him at his word. That's interesting. I think Romney is I think the Democrats would love to run against Romney.
Yeah.
I think he is a very, very vulnerable candidate. I mean, he would be, I think he'd be a punching bag.
Read all about it in the new Harper's. Ken Silverstein, Washington editor. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Talk to you again soon. Coming up next, Reese Ehrlich talks about Iran, and Dick Cheney, he's dropping more threats. I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles.
Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Devastating wildfires across Southern California.
We're just losing homes left and right.
For Al-Qaeda in Iraq, a pep talk from Osama bin Laden. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says it's a tragic day. Wildfires fueled by tinder dry vegetation and fanned by the desert wind have consumed hundreds of homes and other buildings, killing one person and forcing more than a quarter million to evacuate.
In San Diego, six major fires, the Witch Creek, Harris Blazes, and San Pasqual Valley fires have merged. Escondido, Rancho Bernardo, and Poway threatened dozens
of homes. CBS radio station KNX keeping its listeners up to date on fast-moving developments.
We are hoping that it will get better, but so far it looks like it's going to get worse, and we want everybody to be prepared and understand that.
San Diego County Sheriff William Collender says when they evacuate an area, it's not a suggestion.
If they're asked to leave, they must leave. When they don't leave, they not only threaten their lives, but they take firefighters and law enforcement away from what they're doing to get them out of the house.
San Diego Mayor Jerry Sanders can't even estimate the losses.
We don't know the number of structures, and we don't know the injuries, and we probably won't for some time, because we can't fight the fire and get back into some of those structures that are still burning.
Lake Arrowhead in the San Bernardino Mountains has a fire that might have been sparked by downed power lines. This is Fire Captain Dave Benfield.
It's a pretty desperate situation. Fire's unfortunately faster than we are. So best I can tell you so far is we've lost at least 100 homes, if not more than that.
Flying overhead, Derek Bell of CBS television station KCBS says it can only get worse.
Every time the smoke clears just a little bit through this area, again, west of Lake Arrowhead, we're seeing more homes that are succumbing to the fire right now. We've got to believe that as this continues on, we're going to see even more.
Now this.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
It might be an acknowledgement that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is falling apart. The group's global leader found it necessary to issue an audio message telling his followers to get their act together.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. Bin Laden, who's 50 years old, sounds healthy, no hesitation. He's speaking clearly as he calls on holy war fighters, Mujahideen, in Iraq to unite under one banner. He admits mistakes have been made. Certainly other Sunni Muslims, Iraqis in Anbar province especially, have turned against Al-Qaeda for violence reported to include beheading children. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Congress has already provided more than $500 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and President Bush today asked for $48 billion more.
We must provide our troops
with the help and support they need to get the job done.
But his most pressing concern is defusing the crisis along the border between northern Iraq and Turkey. He made phone calls to the Turkish president and the Iraqi prime minister. It's getting more dangerous, as CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
Turkey is moving more firepower and troops closer to Iraq as a border war threatens to become an invasion the U.S. desperately does not want to happen. Over the weekend, Turkey shelled northern Iraq, attempting with no success to knock out camps from which a terrorist group called the PKK launches cross-border raids. In the latest incident, the PKK, which claims to be fighting for the independence of the Kurdish minority in Turkey, killed 12 Turkish soldiers and captured 8 others.
Turkey believes the Bush administration promised to rein in the PKK, but U.S. commanders in Iraq say they can't spare the troops. Just before Christmas 2004, a pregnant woman in Skidmore, Missouri, was killed, her baby cut from her womb. This afternoon, a jury found 39-year-old Lisa Montgomery guilty. Prosecutors will seek the death penalty. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's one of the greatest things for trucks and SUVs since mud flaps. It's Silent Armor technology with DuPont Kevlar, one of many innovations at your Goodyear retailer. And now get up to a $40 cash card by mail-in offer with the purchase of 4 select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 9/30 through 10/27/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchase is subject to credit approval.
You know, a wise man once said, do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life. Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. It was about the time Dick Cheney said we ought to attack Iran. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about Senator Dodd from Connecticut putting a hold on that bad NSA bill in the Senate. Ari Melber from The Nation, about half an hour away. Yes, I think it would be stark raving mad, absolutely crazy to attack Iran at this point. But Dick Cheney was rattling those sabers over the weekend. We'll give you some quotes here in just a moment. Reese Ehrlich returns to our program today. His new book is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. Got a lot of great information in there, including the history of how the U.S. formerly encouraged Iran to develop nuclear power plants. That was back when the Shah was running the place with an iron fist and was our good buddy. Lots of other good information in the book, too. Reese, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Peter.
Well, you're writing a story, and irrespective of the fortunes of your book, you're on a story that clearly has a lot of shelf life here.
Yeah, in some ways, for the sake of the people of the U.S. and Iran, I wish it would disappear, but it seems to be every time you turn around, there's new threats coming out of Washington. Bush, just a couple of days ago, re-raised the idea that we cannot tolerate an Iran that knows how to make nuclear weapons?
Well, this is very interesting because, once again, we have, it's not mission creep, but the definition of what requires a mission is creeping. And if we go back, of course, to the shifting rationales for the invasion and occupation of Iraq, it went from he's got WMD, nuclear, oops, not that, well, biological, oops, not that. And then, of course, in the subsequent State of the Union message, it was weapons of mass destruction program related activities.
Yeah.
And now we are changing the rationale here for Iran. And
it's really interesting. The New York Times actually got it wrong this morning. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Actually, Bush had made a similar statement to this last spring. Mm. I have it in my book. And what it is as they get closer to thinking about dropping bombs on Iran, they change the goalposts
right.
to make it okay to do so. So last spring, the last time we went through this round of possible attacks on Iran, President Bush himself gave a speech in which he said, we can't tolerate Iran knowing how to make atomic weapons. Well, of course, there's about a zillion countries around the world who know how to make nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of scientists in our university who know how. The problem is actually making them. It's actually quite difficult to do so.
And how do we prevent Iran from, quote, having the knowledge necessary to make a sick nuclear weapon? That's the president from his news conference last Wednesday morning.
Well, you have to bomb them. And presumably you have to kill all the scientists who know how to do that.
Well, shouldn't we have neutron bombs, though, that take out their brains? Because we are now attacking the knowledge of how to create a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, it's pretty absurd. And it's all about justifying they make the decision what they're going to do, and then they try and find a rationale that seems to fly with the American public. And as you said, if this one doesn't fly, then I'll come up with another one. It's Iraq all over again, the Downing Street memo, where we now know from the British intelligence and Prime Minister's office that Bush had decided to go to war with Iraq, and they were just fishing around for reasons to do so.
Yes, they fixed the intelligence around the policy.
That's right.
And Cheney went to another one of these hostile audiences, the Institute for Near East Policy, where he was permitted to give a 35-minute talk, presumably without interruption.
You know, just one of these days, I'd love to see one of these guys show up at an audience of just normal people, you know, that included the 70% of the public that doesn't like the Iraq war.
Just once,
I wish they'd get out of their bubble
Reese.
And talk to ordinary people.
Why would they want to do that?
Well, it would be very embarrassing.
Yeah. So Cheney repeated some of these warnings. Again, Iran doesn't have a government. Since we want to take it out, it's a regime. The Iranian regime needs to know that if it stays on its present course, the international community is prepared to impose serious consequences. The United States joins other nations in sending a clear message. We will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now, as we see this taking shape, against the backdrop of the Kyle Lieberman Amendment that Senator Clinton voted for, as did other members but not presidential candidates of the Democratic Party in the Senate, we see that appears to be, if not at least a flare being shot into the sky, it does seem to be a precursor toward an authorization for this administration to once again use force. And I give John Edwards credit for being the most frank and direct of the Democratic candidates in warning what the consequences can be of trusting the Bush administration and giving them even an inch of authority.
Yeah. I mean, Edwards was not in the Senate, of course, to vote on this bill, but to his credit, he did criticize Hillary Clinton's vote on that, as did Barack Obama, actually, who was absent for the vote but says he would have voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was a 75-22 vote. It was appalling that so many Democrats joined with Republicans saying that Bush should declare the Revolutionary Guards a terrorist organization. You know, you can vote for anything. It doesn't really matter what's in it. The Bush administration will later claim that that was justification for going to war. And Democrats ought to have learned by now, just vote no. I mean, just say no. Don't do it.
Well, this is where Edwards, again, to his credit, in the debate, I think it was the Dartmouth debate, said that I voted for the war in 2002 and I was wrong and I regret that vote. And he said, referring to Senator Clinton, that some people haven't learned the same lessons that I have.
Yeah.
And then went into his comments that you can't trust the Bush administration.
Yeah, although, you know, I have to say that Edwards, to my knowledge, has never taken the military option off the table regarding Iran.
You are correct. I have concerns about his real position, because while for the moment he's opposed to Kyle Lieberman, and I credit him for his analysis there, he has not repudiated the use of force against Iran.
In fact, he's emphasized it in a speech before AIPAC last year. I have it in my book. The problem is the highest level of the Democratic Party, generally speaking, buys into all the wrong assumptions about Iran. So they might differ tactically with Bush about do we bomb them now or not. But, you know, nobody, for example, Democrat or Republican, has spoken out against the covert war that the U.S. is waging against Iran. That's bombing soldiers, civilians, assassinating people, trying to stir up ethnic minorities against the Iranian government.
Covert operatives from the MEK, which we used to call a terrorist group in Iraq?
We still do. It still is a terrorist group.
Mm-hmm.
And the PKK, that's in the news today too, right?
Yep.
Get this, okay? Hold on to your seats, folks. The U.S., there's a group called the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers' Party. It is listed as a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department. The U.S. jumps up and down, screaming and yelling when the PKK attacks into Turkey from northern Iraq. And, in fact, the Turks have threatened to invade northern Iraq behind this. When the same group goes into northern Iran, does the same thing, they're freedom fighters. They're getting backing, political, military, economic support from the United States.
Yeah.
So that's part of this covert war that neither Democrats nor Republicans are willing to denounce, neither high-level Democrats and Republicans.
Well, it also undermines any authority that we might have to persuade Turkey not to send more troops into northern Iraq.
Yeah.
We didn't exactly set a good example there.
Yeah, well, that is ironic because the Turks know about this double dealing. It's all over the Turkish press about this covert war, and they know that the U.S. is backing the PKK in Iran. So they wonder, well, if you're backing them over there, how much can we really believe that you're trying to stop them in their activities in Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of these policies, they think they're getting away with something, and it always comes back to bite them.
Reese Ehrlich is with us. His new book, The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy and the Middle East Crisis. And, Reese, I was also stunned just at the way this administration is getting hammered from almost every direction, that Vladimir Putin, who once had Bush look into his eyes and see his soul, went to Tehran last week, had high-level meetings with Ahmadinejad and with the Supreme Ayatollah there, and came away with an offer of a Caspian compact of some sort that Russia and its former Soviet republics around the Caspian Sea, most of which end in Stan, will agree not to participate in any military action against Iran. Iran also announced that they're willing to build a power plant in Iraq. They didn't say if it's nuclear or not.
It's to my knowledge, it's not nuclear.
I understand, but we got to ask the question.
That's right.
And so Bush is finding himself increasingly cornered, and there also is some additional deal, perhaps around the nuclear development issue that has not yet been made public. Have you heard any hints about what Putin and Ahmadinejad agreed to?
I read the same reports you did. No. To my knowledge, nobody has gone public with what the possible agreement or ideas between Putin and Khamenei, the supreme leader that you referred to in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows exactly on that issue. For sure, Putin is trying to play the hero for Iran and the other nations of the area as someone who opposes U.S. Military actions against Iran. And, of course, Putin is also worried about these missiles that the U.S. is trying to stick into Poland and Czechoslovakia, which, of course, are to counteract Iran. That has nothing to do with Russia, let me assure you that.
Right.
Because, of course, everyone knows Iran has aggressive designs against Czechoslovakia and Poland. And the rest of Eastern Europe soon to become. I mean, that one is so bald-faced, nobody believes it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody believes it, and certainly the Russians don't believe it.
Well,
the only good news is Poland just had a vote, and they may reverse themselves on both their troops in Iraq and the missiles with their new government.
All right. We're going to take a break and return with Reese Ehrlich. If you have a question or comment about the situation with Iran, this is the perfect time for it. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. It's 18 after the hour, and you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. Welcome to Monday. So we're definitely not dealing with the deadly fires in the Southern California area, but we are dealing with a little bit of traffic. Let's go over to Carmel, right on the right-hand shoulder of Rio Road, east of the, let's see, they're saying this is east of Highway 1. It's a two-car crash being reported there. And we also want to take a look at a problem in the Salinas area. And this is reported on Blanco Road at Cooper Road. Large piece of metal in the lanes there. Also a reminder, we do have a problem in Gilroy Godfrey Road at Ferguson. It is a two-car crash. We do have CHP units on scene there. Santa Cruz, northbound 17, right at Paso Tiempo. We have a vehicle on fire. It's on the right-hand shoulder. Fire department crews are on scene. Taking a look at the traffic between Monterey and Carmel, southbound direction looking good. Northbound direction also no problems to report. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah, that used to be one of Johnny McCain's favorite songs. He even sang it at a campaign rally earlier this year. And now he says he's praying that the U.S. won't attack Iran. We're talking with Reese Ehrlich. His powerful new book is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. I recommend it to you. There's a lot of good background information that you certainly won't find in the corporate media in this country because, well, they think that context and history are, well, they don't survey real well. They don't show up well with the focus groups. Reese, I wanted to ask you to take a moment to take us back a couple of summers when you and our friend Norman Solomon, who's a regular contributor to the show, and Sean Penn made a trip to Tehran. It was fascinating, and your account of it in the book I found very interesting.
Well, this was in 2005. at the time of the presidential elections in Iran, before Ahmadinejad was actually very well known in the United States. In fact, I can say I was one of the first Western reporters to be able to successfully pronounce his name.
And help me, I thought it was Ahmadinejad.
Well, I have heard some Iranians pronounce it that way, but it's Ahmadinejad.
It's
like Ahmad or Ahmad in Arabic.
I never know whether those H's are the signal to clear your throat or not.
That's right, yes. When I was listening to your tease there about your show, how great it is, I thought you said, he brings you Jews you don't normally hear. And I thought to myself, well, that's very nice of him. I think I will be very happy to participate in that.
Just before you go on, Reese, Katrina translated your surname for me, and in German it means truth.
Honest.
Yeah.
Yes, that's all true.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, enough of this shtick here.
Yeah.
Anyways, 2005. We were there. Sean was not there as an actor, but as a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle.
Right.
He wrote a very fine five-part series, which you can still find online. If you want to Google Sean Penn and San Francisco Chronicle, it pops right up. And basically, one of my favorite incidents was we were interviewing people in a coffee shop, and when we were through, this is our first day there. Nobody knew that we were there or that he was there. And so it was a really big deal for these people in this coffee shop to find us. And they all wanted to be interviewed. And then when we finished doing our interviews, the entire place emptied out. We all walked out onto the street. And everybody had a little cell phone camera. And they were all snapping pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman sent out an email that said, "You're never going to believe this, but Sean Penn is in Tehran. If you don't, look at this picture of me and him in front of such and such a cafe." And that picture and email zinged its way throughout the entire country. Within a couple of days, our translator had received 25 different copies of it from different friends. And that's what a big deal it was for Sean to have come, because they just don't get any Hollywood stars that come there. He's the first one since 79. He's very popular, and people knew about both his progressive political views as well as, of course, his fine acting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you no doubt encountered many people who shared their views with you, and from what I understand, there are many Iranians who don't like the theocracy, don't like the strong-armed government that is in power there. But if the U.S. attacks, isn't it likely that they will close ranks around the government that we call a regime?
Yeah, for sure. Think of what happened in this country after 9/11. There are a lot of people who were maybe not all that fond of Bush, but in the time of crisis, of what was perceived as a foreign attack, people rallied around the government. The same thing would happen in Iran if the U.S. attacks. And I spoke with many leaders of human rights groups, women's rights, independent trade unions, student groups, and every single one of them criticized Bush's policies towards Iran. You cannot find anybody of any significance in Iran who does any political organizing,
mm-hmm.
Who supports Bush's policies. They make it harder for the people who want democracy in Iran, who are fighting against the system over there, to survive.
Reese, just about a minute remaining. Yep. One more thing I wanted to ask you about, this constant rhetorical size-up that we hear from the Bush administration is that Iran is supplying weapons that are killing Americans in Iraq. And I heard one progressive commentator say, Iran is supplying weapons to the Shiite government that we put in power in Baghdad for the inevitable civil war that is underway now, but will probably expand whenever U.S. forces leave there. Is that a fair description of...
A little bit. I would say, put it the following way. The Iranian government is supplying arms and political, economic, military support to certain Shia factions and to Kurdish factions as well. In most cases, the same ones that the United States is arming. The U.S. has never shown that Iran is telling those militias to attack U.S. soldiers. In fact, Iran's position is there should be a gradual withdrawal of U.S. troops because they don't want the Sunni militias to have too much power. Mm-hmm. They want the U.S. to be fighting the Sunnis. The people who are fighting against the United States troops are the very people that the U.S. is training, the Army, the...
Reese, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Reese Ehrlich, the Iran Agenda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is it real or is it Colbert? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Comedian Stephen Colbert has been on every channel explaining his run for president. And on Sunday, he faced down Tim Russert on Meet the Press. Now, in case you don't watch Colbert's show, his shtick is to parody conservatives.
I think that the junctures that we face are both critical and unforeseen.
See, that's a parody of BS. But there's a risk here because Colbert sounds very serious when he speaks. So let us be clear. This...
And the real challenge is how we will respond to these junctures.
See, that was a parody of BS, whereas this...
The fact that the inspectors have not yet come up with new evidence could be evidence in and of itself.
See, that was the actual BS. Okay, we'll do one more. This is an actual conservative statement on making gay marriage unconstitutional.
The only alternative left to the people would be the constitutional process. Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage.
See, that's the real thing, which is different from the joke version in that Stephen Colbert actually gives a reason why gay marriage has to be unconstitutional.
Because I only got married as a taunt toward gay men because they couldn't.
Okay, got that. Now for the test. I will play a campaign promise. You tell me if this is a real candidate or Stephen Colbert. Here we go.
If I'm president, I'll work to make sure that every computer sold into the home has an easy-to-engage pornography filter so that parents can protect their children from unwanted filth.
But don't look at me. I can't figure out what's real anymore. Now this.
When's the best time to save on service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. We've got great deals on everything your vehicle needs, including fantastic offers on name brand tires. And our Ford trained technicians are the best in the business. Right place, right prices, right now. Only at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, this event ends soon.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we throw open the switchboard here wide open and take your phone calls in what we call the free speech zone. And you know the number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. We do like to notify you that your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency under the Warrantless Wiretapping Program. The phone company's facing an amnesty bill that'll prevent you and me from suing them for collaborating with the illegal eavesdropping by our government. So before we get started with Ari Melber from The Nation, I just wanted you to know that this portion of the program is brought to you by your friendly neighborhood phone company.
We don't know.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
Hello, I'm Larry, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
I'm Nancy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We don't know.
For the only phone company in town, you don't have to know what you're doing, and there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You can try to complain, but you probably won't get through. The phone company.
We don't know what we're doing.
Now, you can tell by the age of that recording, that actually comes from the era before AT&T was broken up and then permitted to metastasize. Ari Melber returns to our program today. He writes for The Nation. Ari, how you doing?
Very well.
Thanks for joining us. And you put a piece up at thenation.com today, first of all, alerting us that Senator Chris Dodd, Democrat from Connecticut and a long-shot candidate for president, has taken the rare step, at least in his career, of putting a hold on the compromise legislation which surfaced last week from Jay Rockefeller's Senate Intelligence Committee. Tell us.
That's right. This is really bad legislation. It basically validates the previously illegal and by most accounts unconstitutional warrantless surveillance of American citizens by both, of course, the Bush administration, but also, as you were saying earlier, in very, very close collaboration with a range of telephone companies. It validates that and then goes further and actually would attempt to provide blanket retroactive legal immunity for those companies. That means if they did break the law, if an American court looked at the actions and said it was illegal, under this bill, they would be immunized from that, and they would never even have to go to court to face suits like that. It's a really outrageous, un-American approach to a big problem we have, and Senator Dodd has said he'll do everything in his power to stop it.
Now, Ari, hasn't somebody reminded these Republicans that they're against amnesty? I mean, we just heard that in the overheated debate about immigration law.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. It's an amnesty bill. And I will say that although personally I am against all forms of retroactive amnesty for corporate officials or government officials who are breaking criminal law, there are some arguments that in ambiguous situations, members of the U.S. government should benefit from a certain type of amnesty if their superiors were actually responsible for lawbreaking. So when you take the torture debates that you and I have spoken about before, there's an argument that low-level folks who were ordered to do something under government authority that might technically be illegal should not be the ones to suffer criminal consequences if they did it in good faith under order, and that rather, more senior officials should bear the brunt of responsibility.
Well,
that,
Ari, I can...
That's out there. That doesn't apply at all, I just want to say, to what's going on here, which are telecommunications companies that have general counsels that knew they were breaking federal law and really had no good faith exception. They weren't following orders. They were breaking the law.
Well, I can understand that there are certain cases where the argument you just advanced might come into play, but I want that to be heard by a judge in a federal court, not just washed away by an act of Congress.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. And that's what you're seeing here is if you listen closely to any of the ridiculous arguments coming out of Washington, D.C. about this, they're saying things like, well, this is what they had to do, or national security. We've seen the courts are very deferential to those arguments when they do come up, but they have to go to a court. There's no reason why these companies should be off the hook and not have to follow American law just like everybody else does. And it's doubly important because as Jack Balkin, the Yale law professor and an expert on these matters, has written extensively about, and I linked to his analysis of this in my piece at thenation.com for folks who are very interested. The courts are the main avenue for us to learn what happened because the executive is lying and keeping everything secret. And Congress so far, under both parties, has not done real investigations. So the courts are actually, not an exaggeration, but literally our last resort to find out all the details of what actually happened with this illegal program.
Yeah. Now, Ari, take us back to the middle of last week where the Senate Intelligence Committee is meeting, and Jay Rockefeller sends a message to the White House through the ranking Republican member that he will not consider amnesty for the phone companies unless they share some documents that explain the legal rationale for the origins of this program, and I presume some definition of exactly what the program is, because we have this amazing situation where our legislative leaders seem ready to trade away our rights, and they don't even know the scope and the specifics of the domestic surveillance program that is underway and that has been, we now know, since well before 9/11, some 7 months before we were attacked.
That's right. I mean, basically, there was a standoff for months over a batch of documents, and the short story is at the last minute, in exchange for this amnesty proposal, the White House did make some documents available. Nobody knows whether they made all of them available, but they made some regarding the program available. Rockefeller reviewed them. Senator Feingold's staff reviewed them. People drew different conclusions just from that batch that they saw, and then the vote did happen in the Intelligence Committee, and it was 13-2 in favor of this amnesty, only two Democrats voting against it. And because this is a special bill, it will take an unusual route and now go to the Judiciary Committee. And then Senator Dodd is saying if it comes out of the Judiciary Committee with that un-American amnesty proposal in it, he will hold on it, and that means there could be a hold that Harry Reid honors, or if Harry Reid chickens out again on this and tries to move it to the floor, then we could have a filibuster fight, which I think we should welcome. I mean, we've had enough of 7 years of Congress rolling over and selling out our rights.
Ari Melber is with us from The Nation. Go to thenation.com and read this piece about the promise from Senator Dodd to put a hold on this bill, as you just heard, if it comes out of Judiciary, with the phone company amnesty intact. And, Ari, there were two no votes that you mentioned. One was Ron Wyden of Oregon, and I'm trying to recall the other. Was it Feingold?
I believe the other was Feingold. Russ Feingold from Wisconsin.
Right. Okay. And so we have a better piece of legislation that Rush Holt, and I'm not Rush Holt's biggest fan because I don't support the election reform bill that he is currently sponsoring, H.R. 811, because I don't think it fixes the problem or goes far enough. But here's a chance for Rush Holt to redeem himself for me and other election protection activists, because he has carried a bill which does not offer amnesty to the phone companies, and which does try to reinstate some protections for Americans, requiring the FISA court to review and issue warrants along the lines of the rules there. They can be done retroactively, but it would not permit the administration to conduct this kind of surveillance without some coverage from the FISA court.
That's right. And the ACLU and other groups that have been fighting on these civil liberties issues are urging people to support the Holt legislation, to support the activism from Dodd and others in the Senate to push back against the bad legislation we've been discussing. And this is an open issue. I mean, this is an open fight. You got a president with 24% approval ratings. You've got a country, an electorate, that is, that doesn't support the Republican approach to national security. I, for one, as an analyst, I mean, separate from the views I just shared about the policy, but as a political analyst, it's hard to understand why the Democrats have been so feckless when they clearly have the wind at their back and the country desiring a different approach to national security and a protection of their constitutional rights.
It is. And Ari, I am still just flummoxed and floored because I made a mistake and I went to Italy for a couple of weeks this summer. And I almost, dropped a really nice glass of wine all over my pizza when I was reading the International Herald Tribune and learned that over that first weekend of August, itchy to go on vacation, the Democrats permitted the FISA reform bill to go to the floor and get passed out. They put a sunset on it to next February, but to me, that's a meaningless little speed bump because we have seen time and again that you give Bush an inch and he'll take a thousand miles, and that's what he's done here. He's saying that the August bill is just fine by him, and he doesn't understand why the Democrats want to try to fix that thing.
That's right. And the August bill was the original sin because prior to that point, while neither party had distinguished itself with good oversight, even the Republicans had refused to actually pass legislation to retroactively approve the warrantless surveillance. So what you basically had was a fight in the court with a standoff between the two branches of government. We've seen this in other areas. It's not ideal, but it does allow for some time and some transparency to review what happened. And the courts were doing that. And a federal district court in Michigan ruled the NSA program illegal and unconstitutional, and that was going up on appeal. So that was, I would argue, better under the Republicans, surprisingly, than what we had starting in August, which was a new Congress with a new mandate speaking out and taking, you know, an affirmative legislative stance to support the warrantless surveillance. It was abominable, and it is one of the ways, and people, you know, I'm obviously coming from a liberal perspective, I don't hide that, but people on the left have to really consider how it is that the Democratic Party could come into control Congress and do worse on some of these civil liberties issues, as what I would argue factually, you know, just a factual statement, do worse on spying than even the Republican Congress.
And Ari, I'm not picking on you, but if I can just make a point.
Sure.
I avoid using the phrase warrantless wiretapping because I consider that to be a Republican-generated talking point that is euphemistic at best. And we hear it repeated in the corporate media over and over again, warrantless wiretapping. Well, what they did was flatly illegal, and they knew it. And just one example of that was the bizarre hospital visit to John Ashcroft when he was near death. And there's Gonzalez and Card going over there trying to get him to sign a document to reauthorize what, you know, I view not as warrantless, but illegal.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And as we all know, language is one of the first casualties of war and too much political combat. And this is illegal, unconstitutional domestic spying, no two ways about it.
Well, and Judge Mukasey last week at his confirmation hearing, it wasn't about the NSA, but it was about the J. Bybee torture memo, and he said it was a mistake, and worse than that, it was a sin. And what I wanted to scream when I heard that on the TV is, it's a crime!
Yeah, well, and he was doing his own bit of fancy linguistic footwork when they had the standoff over torture. Is waterboarding torture? Is torture illegal? And he was jumping, you know, from one square to the next without ever acknowledging what was illegal, because for all of the sin talk, he didn't want to actually confront what his predecessors have done that is illegal and contrary to the Geneva Convention.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Ari Melber. His article's posted at thenation.com about Senator Chris Dodd planning to put a hold on the legislation that came out of the Intelligence Committee last week that does include amnesty for the phone companies. And when we return, I want to ask Ari to discuss the mechanics of that and exactly how it would work if Dodd goes through with that threat. Got a question? Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Your call is subject to monitoring by the NSA. But be brave, be courageous, and take on the fascists. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're talking with Ari Melber from The Nation on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Are you an atheist, agnostic, or a free thinker? Free Thought Radio's Dan Barker will be speaking at Cal State Monterey Bay on Monday, October 22nd. Dan is a former minister who will share his journey away from organized religion in a talk entitled Losing Faith in Faith. Meet Dan Barker Monday evening at CSUMB at 7 in the University Center, room 118, building 29. Dan will be kicking off CSUMB's new Free Thought Group, sponsored by the Secular Student Alliance. You can hear Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor every Sunday at noon, right here on AM 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Okay, it's that time, and let's get to it. We want to talk a little about what's happening right now. Let's see. CHP telling us about a problem. It is in Prunedale, San Miguel, Canyon Road, Castroville Road, in word of a two-car crash reportedly blocking lanes, and we do have a CHP unit on scene there. If you're in Gilroy, I'm going to let you know about Godfrey Road in Ferguson, injury crash. Two vehicles cleared out of the lanes. We had a paramedics and fire department crew still on scene, along with CHP, as you might imagine. Gonzalez activity working right now. It's northbound 101 at 5th Street, and apparently this is a crash. A big rig is involved in this accident. No further details. Eastbound 25, looking pretty good between Gilroy and Hollister. Southbound 1, also moderate between Monterey and Carmel at this point. That's a good traffic on KRXA.
Peter B. Collins Show. Don't legalize the NSA, but please do legalize hemp.
Hello, NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you.
Oh, they really listen. They take notes and transcripts, too.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. Cause you're out there with your headphones. And you really listen.
Oh, yeah, the NSA really listens, but is the Congress listening to us? And do they realize, particularly the Democratic leadership, how absolutely fundamental and crucial, critical it is to roll back the power grabs of the Bush administration that have really made an incursion, I don't know how to put that in the active verb, but have infringed on our rights to privacy, our rights under the Fourth Amendment to probable cause before search, seizure, and surveillance. Ari Melber is with us. His article is posted just today at thenation.com. Senator Chris Dodd planning to put a hold on any legislation that doesn't expunge the amnesty provision for phone companies that was negotiated in the compromise bill that came out 13-2 of the Senate Intelligence Committee late last week. And Ari, for my money, Chris Dodd doesn't really have much traction running for president, but I'm grateful to him on this issue as well as his call to repeal the Military Commissions Act, which embodies the worst in Bush administration policy related to torture, detention, interrogation tactics, etc. And this once again separates him from many of his colleagues, including those who want to be president, because he's willing to really stick his neck out and ready to face the kind of swift boating that hit Max Cleland, accusations of being unpatriotic because you stand for our civil liberties.
You bet. And I would actually also pick a bone with you on how his campaign is going. I mean, it really is too early to tell. We haven't seen a real change in the traditional corporate media over, I'd say, the past 8 months. This entire year we've been told there's three front runners on the Democratic side, and that's the end of the story. And that's been scripted from the outset, and we'll see whether that's the case or if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But just today, for example, in the monthly poll that the Daily Coast website has, which is an interesting barometer of at least net roots, if not all rank-and-file Democratic opinion, Chris Dodge shot up to second place ahead of Hillary Clinton and ahead of Barack Obama for a lot of activists on that side who are very active in Democratic politics and who do give money to candidates. And I think that's probably, if I had to guess, a reflection of the type of campaign he's waged that you just described. So who knows where his campaign goes from here?
I'd love to be wrong. I'm an ABC guy, anybody but Clinton. Now, tell us in practical terms how the arcane rules of the Senate work, and if Dodd put a hold on this, how long does the hold last, and what does he have to do to back it up?
Sure. Technically, any senator can put a hold on legislation and certain nominations by simply filing a letter with the majority leader. Senator Dodd has done that. I've seen the letter. That's officially happened. Now, that can last, you know, as long as that senator and the majority leader are in communication. And in some cases, I would say less of an important standoff than this, the hold is a way of saying, give me some time and little things can be worked out. Here we're looking at a true standoff, especially when you recall the 13-2 vote, the overwhelming support, unfortunately, for this amnesty provision suggests that they're not really going to come to a negotiated agreement. And so one of two things can happen. Harry Reid can continue to honor the hold. This is a senior member of his own party, and that means ultimately the bill goes nowhere. The August bill sunsets, the August legislation that you referred to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it from there, which I think is a perfectly fine outcome.
Yeah.
Number two, Harry Reid can say, given the import of this issue and the overwhelming majority of the Senate or his or even the Democratic caucus to want to proceed, he's going to force the hold open. Now, some people fight about this and say that's, you know, wrong. Technically, in the Senate rules, that's the majority leader's prerogative. And then to enforce the hold, that is to prevent the legislation from getting a vote, the senator or senators in question have to go down to the floor and physically filibuster it, just like we've seen in the movie. And you all know how that looks.
Mm-hmm. So this could play out over a number of months, and I like the scenario that you spun for us a moment ago, which is that the hold lasts until the bad legislation from August expires, and then we are back to square one.
Right, and look, I mean, if Harry Reid doesn't have the courage or the leadership to figure this out himself, then he can say, hey, I can't do anything because I got a senator here holding it, and we generally honor holds, and that's true. There's a record for that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
People can give him a hard time, but everyone knows you honor holds, and for the sake of your audience, you know, I used to work as a Senate aide. Holds are very powerful, and they're very effective, and it's one of those arcane ways that the Senate sort of works.
Right.
So if he wants to blame Chris Dodd, he can do that. But, you know, that would be fine. The real problem is that oftentimes, and I don't mean to be hyperbolic, but oftentimes it seems like Harry Reid is more worried about what Bush is going to say than what senior members of his own party believe.
Well, I share your concern there. And help me with this, because Speaker Pelosi did make appropriate comments. I believe she called the August legislation an obscenity on the Constitution. She nonetheless permitted that bill to go to the floor, as did Harry Reid. Why? Why on earth did they do that, Ari?
I don't know. It makes no sense. You know, I was just talking to my mom about this, who cares about these issues like you do, and was reminiscing on the same point, because unlike the Senate, we were just discussing holds, which are a minoritarian power that you have in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally different, of course, than the House, where the Speaker controls everything. That means if Newt Gingrich is Speaker and he says, we're not going to fund the government, that's the end of the story. The government runs out of money except for essential services. If Nancy Pelosi says, I don't like this bill, it doesn't go to the floor. It gets no vote. That is the majoritarian power of the House. It's why sometimes people feel that the House runs in really unfair ways, because the Speaker can do all kinds of things. But in this case, as you said, yes, if it's an abomination on the Constitution, why she spirited it right to the floor to get to the president's desk. It makes no sense, and it's part of why, despite a change in party, I think that we've got a Congress that's even less popular, that's even more opposed by the American public today than before the midterm, because people see all this stuff, the Democrats aren't making sense.
Ari Melber, I'm out of time. Thanks for your reporting, and I want people to read it at thenation.com. We'll go into the free speech zone next. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A house in Southern California goes up in flames, one of hundreds damaged or destroyed by wildfires. More than 250,000 people have been evacuated. And in Magic Mountain, Michelle Caitlin is expecting a go order any time now.
It's really, really nerve-wracking, and I feel so sorry for those people who have already lost their homes.
CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker is covering.
There are so many fires burning with such intensity across Southern California that firefighters are overwhelmed, stretched to the limit. In the Lake Arrowhead Resort area east of Los Angeles, two fires are raging, burning pricey vacation houses, closing down highways. Not far south in Orange County, children clutching their parents' hands were forced to run from Foothill Elementary School to escape a fast-moving fire bearing down on the sprawling city of Irvine.
President Bush called Governor Schwarzenegger to make sure the state's getting the federal help it needs. The White House says FEMA has already provided assistance grants to fight four major fires. Volunteer agencies have stepped up. Father Joe Carroll of St. Vincent de Paul Village in San Diego says they're supplying the evacuees.
They needed blankets, and we supplied a little over 1,000. They needed army cots, and then they ended with about 15,000 people at our sports arena. So we've taken 2,500 meals down there now. We're going to do another 6,000 tomorrow.
At least one death is blamed on the fires, and the Santa Ana wind keeps blowing. Osama bin Laden is heard from again. This new audio message is directed at insurgents in Iraq, urging them to put aside their differences and unite against the U.S. occupation. It's apparently a response to the Sunnis who've turned against al-Qaeda, some even cooperating with the Americans. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is calling for cooler heads along the Iraq-Turkey border.
I don't want to speculate about what specifically we might do, but this is an issue of deep concern to the United States.
She and President Bush have been working the phones, urging the Turkish government not to invade and warning Kurdish guerrillas against further cross-border raids. The cost of college continues to rise faster than the rate of inflation. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has more.
A new survey from the College Board shows four-year public school tuition and fees are up 6.6%. The percentage rise was a little lower at the more expensive private colleges and universities.
A big part of the problem is that family incomes have been quite stagnant in recent years. So families don't have increasing ability to pay these rising prices.
The College Board's Sandy Baum says the easiest way to pay is to plan ahead.
This is not something that people can reasonably pay for out of their annual income.
She says financial aid is not keeping up with the rising costs. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow finished 44 points higher today at 13,566. The Nasdaq up 28 points to 2,753. This is CBS News.
Say you're driving to dinner without a TomTom GPS when you notice the road ahead is closed for construction. You could turn off and look for a way around, even though every street you're passing is a one-way the wrong way, and the architecture suddenly looks different, each fleeting moment only confirming the barrage of subtle guilt your in-laws are plotting as they glare across the table at your empty seat. Or you could use a TomTom. With its exclusive MapShare technology, TomTom gives you the world's most up-to-date maps, so when a road shuts down, your evening doesn't. TomTom. Go confidently.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
All sorts of products and services are rated and reviewed, and now that concept extends to the medical profession. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett reports.
Pick a restaurant based on the menu, service, price, and decor. Now you'll be able to do likewise and find a doctor with help from the Zagat survey people.
There's a way to get a recommendation from 35 million people across the country.
Jason Gorovec is with WellPoint, the health insurer that's partnered with Zagat. Go to the doctor and then file a survey.
It focuses on trust, communication, availability, and the doctor's office environment.
It's a 30-point grading system.
It's focused on consumer experience rather than claims information or clinical quality information.
Data won't show whether a doctor's been involved in malpractice settlements. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Hunting companions in western Colorado reported a South Carolina man missing in a storm, but after authorities started a search, they learned he wasn't missing, just mad. After an argument with his fellow hunters, he's gotten on a bus for home. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I've got a line open for you. It's the free speech zone. No guests scheduled this hour. Lines are open toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 888-573-8372. It spells 888-5-PETER-B. And right before the end of the hour, film critic Gary Chu will join us to talk about the new film Rendition. Meryl Streep, Jake Gyllenhaal, and others in the film. Alan Arkin is one of them. And for a change, I've actually seen this one, so I'll be able to discuss it with Gary. And it's a pretty good film. I'm really pleased to see the story of what is called Extraordinary Rendition brought to the big screen. And it's not a perfect film, but I'll take it because I hope that it's a box office a winner and that people will start to see this. Because we've been talking about extraordinary rendition and torture in remote locations for at least 2 years now. And I want to see this become an issue that every American is aware of and concerned about. And I think the film does a good job of doing that. So we'll talk with Gary about it. But all your calls between now and the end of the hour, 888-5-PETER-B is that toll-free number. And we'll get right to your calls, but I wanted to throw out a couple of things. We've talked about Mitt Romney. We talked about Iran and the recent comments of Bush and Cheney. And just recently we talked with Ari Melber about the bad legislation coming through the Senate that would legalize the NSA wiretap program and immunize the phone companies and elected or government officials from any responsibility for what has occurred. And I want to praise the New York Times with one exception. They wrote a powerful editorial and then buried it in the Saturday edition of the paper. The headline reads, "With Democrats Like These." And it takes to task the Democratic Party for caving on these critical constitutional issues. It reads in part, "House Democrats drafted a measure that, while imperfect, was an improvement to the one passed this summer. But before the House could vote, Republicans tied up the measure in bureaucratic knots and Democratic leaders pulled it. Senate Democrats did even worse, according to accepting a Potemkin compromise that endorsed far too much of the bad summer law. As the debate proceeds, Americans will be told that the delicate compromises were about how the government may spy on phone calls and electronic messages in an age of instant communications. Republicans have already started blowing hot air about any naysayers trying to stop spies from tracking terrorists. No one is doing that. The question really is whether Congress should toss out chunks of the Constitution because Bush finds them inconvenient and some Democrats are afraid to look soft on terrorism." It's a very powerful editorial, and I encourage you to read it. The other item related to the NSA spying is a potential silver lining. Bob Agelko is the legal affairs writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. And again, this was buried in the Saturday paper, but it's a very important story. And the headline reads, "Immunity for Telecom Firms Might Not Kill Wiretap Suits." And Agelko interviews individuals, including Lee Tien from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who argue that Congress cannot wipe out the constitutional basis for these lawsuits. Now, a statute could prevent me, for example. I am a plaintiff in one of the suits before a judge here in San Francisco. Carl Mayer is the attorney who's leading the class action suit. And I qualify for membership in the class because I had a long-distance service from AT&T, and I think that I might have been monitored. I don't know that, but I think I might have. And so the simple effect, if I boil this down, is that these people in this article argue that Congress cannot remove the basis for constitutional challenges to the program, but the statutory immunity offered by the Rockefeller Committee bill would prevent us from collecting money damages. Well, I would prefer to have a robust set of sanctions for those who have violated the law, including money damages. But if we end up in a situation where the most we can do is challenge the constitutionality of these issues, well, that's better than nothing. Let's take your phone calls now here in the Free Speech Zone. Up first, it's Laura in Sacramento. Hello, Laura. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I've got an opinion. First, I'm really concerned about Senator Rockefeller's stand, and I have noticed how much money he's taken from the telecom industry in the last election cycle, and frankly, it's troubling. As far as whether or not ex post facto will come into play, my concerns would be the fact that look at who Bush is appointing to the courts, particularly the pack in the federal bench with egregious judges. And I'm concerned about the procedural impediments that would stop somebody from even trying to raise constitutional issues. However, I wanted to go back and comment on your guest that you just had on in the last segment. While I stand four square behind him in his opinion, my take is that the Democratic leadership is exhibiting battered woman syndrome. They are so concerned about the appearance, and it's particularly troubling when the Christopher Dodds stand up, the Pete starts to stand up and really speak truth to power, and they act like a circular firing squad. They should be supporting these people saying the truth instead of caving and trying to mealy-mouth and minimalize what they say and hand the Republican Party really great talking points about how spineless and useless we are. I'd like to see my Democratic leadership stand up, take measures to the floor four votes and be able to point out who's the obstructionist and who's not, and really stand four square behind some values. If you can't stand up for and defend the Constitution as you swore to do, then step aside and let someone else do it. I've been calling my representative on a weekly basis and expressing my frustration, and so far it's been for naught, but I'm not going to give up trying because we just can't give up at this point.
Well,
otherwise,
I appreciate your activism and your well-informed approach here. And let me just touch on something you threw in there about Pete Stark. Pete Stark is a long-serving congressman from Hayward in the East Bay. He is one of the most liberal members of Congress. He's the only one who has acknowledged that he is non-theistic. He doesn't necessarily believe in God. I don't know that he defines himself as an atheist, but he is a secular humanist who doesn't embrace religion. And he's taken a lot of shots for that, but he's virtually invulnerable in his district. And I think you're right that Democrats certainly could have said that while those are not words I would have used, and what Stark did is he injected the Iraq war into the debate over S-CHIP. And he challenged the Republicans, saying that they couldn't find $35 billion for health insurance for kids. But even today, we had another request from the Bush administration for an additional $45 billion for the occupation of Iraq. And so, you know, when you put Stark's comments into context with this incredible rapacious demand for more and more money to kill people, and we don't have enough money to keep American children alive, then, you know, I think Pete Stark's comments, while they were extreme, are certainly defensible, and every Democrat should be saying that while he may have used words that I wouldn't have, he has a First Amendment right to say so, and his linkage of the cheapskate approach the Republicans have to kids' health insurance here and the free spending approach they have to the occupation of Iraq deserves comment.
Can I just briefly comment on that, and then
sure.
I will let you move on? Not only do I agree with that, he is speaking for the majority of the people that went to the polls in 2006. He is the people are leading, and he is following, and our so-called leaders are caving like a dollar store chair.
Well, Laura, I can't disagree with you. You've got
Thanks.
That right. Thanks for calling today. I really appreciate it. 888-5 Peter B. Join us in the Free Speech Zone. Pat in Sacramento, you're next.
Yeah, well, like the lady just said, he speaks for the majority of those who voted. And like, I'm a Republican, and I voted for the Democrats the last two elections.
Well, thank you.
No, I do it for me, of course, and I appreciate you saying thank you.
Well, I thank you for being that open-minded, that you can define yourself as a Republican who understands that these Republicans, the neocons, are not good for America.
Correct. Anyway, and here's the point I wanted to make. I did call five senators today, their offices. You get to talk to real people. I think everybody that's listening, if you don't call shows, call the senators' offices. Support Dodd, tell the other senators to get out there and publicly support him. And I had Boxer and all those other people's offices. And
The one to lean on in my book is a gal named Dianne Feinstein.
I didn't even bother calling her office. She's deserted everything I believe in. Anyway, but at least call the ones that you think will support it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call Boxer's office. You know, give them a pat on the back. They need it. Anyway, and so here's how I feel about Stark's thing. You know, he didn't say anything that was incorrect. This president does seem to enjoy this sort of thing. You never saw this kind of reaction from Roosevelt. He never made a joke about Pearl Harbor like he did about, you know, where are the weapons of mass destruction? I mean,
right.
This isn't something you laugh about. War's serious stuff. And so I hope that people out there will maybe put it the way I put it to all the senators' offices, which is, as much as I'm a supporter of self-defense and the Second Amendment, I will give up my guns if I can keep my privacy, because I use it every single day of my life, and I don't use my guns or free speech every day.
Wow.
This is the last brick in the wall. If this one falls, the wall goes down. We lose all 10 of the amendments. So we can't lose our Bill of Rights. And if this isn't where people stand and fight, then there is no place left to fight, because privacy is where you can organize. That will be gone. There will be no organization. That's the danger here.
Well, Pat, I want to thank you for your call today. It's really heartening to hear you describe...
God bless you people for being on the air, and God bless our radio station here in Sacramento.
All right. Well, we'll stop kissing each other, and thanks again for the call. I really enjoyed it, and it's gratifying to hear that coming from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open. Tell me what's on your mind. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You call 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Or you can drop me an email, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. We are going to update folks regarding a problem right now. It is in, Los Gatos, southbound 17, the Cat's Restaurant. Solo vehicle overturned off the roadway, then landed on its roof. We have minor injuries reported. However, fire department emergency crews are on scene trying to help out the injured folks there. Gonzales, northbound 101 at 5th Street. We have an accident working. It's a big rig involved in this crash. And what I can tell you, it's on the right shoulder of the off-ramp there. And it looks like the vehicle went off. Actually, there's another vehicle that went off of the roadway as well. So a couple cars involved in this one. Salinas River Road and Highway 68. The traffic lights are not working, so expect delays. Treat those lights as a four-way stop.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes into the hour, and all my lines are open. All of a sudden, the cell phone's dropped, and so there's no waiting if you want to call into the Free Speech Zone right now. Grab a line, and we'll talk to you directly. 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. And since there are no callers right now, this is a perfect moment. I want to tell you how pleased I was to watch 60 Minutes last night and see the interview with Valerie Plame Wilson. Because I've been interviewing her husband, Joe, over the last three and a half years and have come away with deep respect for him and for the sliming that they experienced when Joe had the the courage and the recklessness to tell the truth in the summer of 2003. And keep in mind, you know, it's always important to note the timing of these events. In the summer of 2003, July 14 was the day that Valerie Plame Wilson's identity was revealed. We know who the leakers were: Armitage, Rove, Libby. Oh, and there's one more, Ari Fleischer. And of course, Bush never carried out his promise to hold them accountable. But at that time, we hadn't captured Saddam. We were spending $1 billion to try to find the non-existent WMD in Iraq. Bush had declared mission accomplished, and they were deeply worried that the pre-war lies might all unravel. And so they went into damage control mode at the nuclear level, as Bush would put it. And what we now know, and what was confirmed by the 60 Minutes broadcast last night, which I will acknowledge we first reported a year and a half ago, because Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, who comes on almost weekly on this program, was the first to report that Valerie Plame Wilson's job at Brewster Jennings, the cover company where she worked for the CIA, was in the area of nuclear nonproliferation. Her job was to understand exactly what Saddam had and what he was capable of, and also to monitor Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, and Libya, those known to have a strong interest in nuclear developing a nuclear capability at that time. And by outing Valerie Plame Wilson, the Bush administration set back substantially our efforts to monitor and roll back the nuclear ambitions of those alleged rogue nations. So her work was critical. And while she's been dismissed by Republican members of Congress as a glorified secretary, not covert, all that stuff, we now know that she was a fine American, devoted to our country, working to protect us from potential nuclear powers who might confront us. And all that was tossed out by the Bush administration for a political payback to protect their lies about Iraq. It'll probably take a few weeks, but we have a request in for an interview with Valerie Wilson. And maybe we can get her husband, the former ambassador Joe Wilson, to come on with her. I think that'd be a very interesting duet. And if you saw the 60 Minutes piece, it was fascinating. Joe and Valerie have moved to Santa Fe. They share an office there. And on his half of the office, the walls are filled with the pictures of him and politicians and world leaders that he's met over the years. Not too uncommon. And her wall, the wall of the CIA operative, completely blank. Not even, you know, some Southwest art or a Georgia O'Keeffe. So I'm going to follow her interviews with interest and look forward to having her on the program whenever we can arrange it. Peter V is next from Monterey. Welcome. You're on the air, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Oh, there you go again.
I know. I would also like to add smart, attractive, and disarming.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a million-dollar smile on that woman, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And quite adept at the interview, as she showed herself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a very smart woman, and I was just quite impressed.
Well, Peter, the theme today seems to be how disappointing the Democrats are. And I wouldn't add that this is the final straw, but as you've mentioned, the great decider has his handout yet again for what was the amount you mentioned?
$45 billion, just a couple of months.
And he has already invoked the soldiers yet once again.
Oh yeah, it's all for the troops. I guess we're buying them crack or something. I don't know.
So, Peter, given the dismal performance we've witnessed so far, can we only believe that they will yet again sign the check? They will. Harry Reid will say, well, this time it'll be different. But, Peter, I suspect that what they've shown us so far is a consistency to disappoint us.
I think you're right. I wish you were wrong, Peter. Thanks for the call. React to that. Give me a call now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, and you can be next in the Free Speech Zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone here. I've got some lines open, and your free speech rights are still available to you. 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. We'll get a review of the new movie Rendition coming up from Gary Chu, our film critic in Sacramento. That's coming up before the end of the hour.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy said it's been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town.
Once again, my number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Not sure what's distracting people. Is there a baseball playoff game today? I don't know. But lines are open, and if you're one of those people who's held back because you think you'll have to wait on hold for a day and a half, here's your chance. Dial in right now, 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. Couple more lifts from this powerful New York Times editorial. Again, I'm disappointed it was published on Saturday, but it really sings to me. We're talking about the NSA compromise that Jay Rockefeller and the Senate agreed to last week. And this is a reference to the bill that they passed just before their vacation in August that did have a six-month expiration, a sunset clause in it. Democrats justified their votes for that bad bill by noting that the law expires in February and by promising to fix it this fall. The House bill did, in fact, restore most judicial safeguards, but the deal cooked up by Jay Rockefeller and the White House doesn't. It would not expire for 6 years, which is too long, and it would dismiss pending lawsuits against companies that turn data over to the government without a warrant. This provision is not primarily about protecting patriotic businessmen, as Bush claims. It's about ensuring that Bush and his aides never have to go to court to explain how many laws they've broken. It's a collusion between lawmakers and the White House that means that no one is ever held accountable. Democratic lawmakers said they reviewed the telecommunications company's cooperation by reading documents selected by the White House and concluded that lawsuits were unwarranted. Unlike them, we still have faith in the judicial system, which is where that sort of conclusion is supposed to be reached, not in a Senate back room polluted by the politics of fear. Then they say there were bright spots. Ron Wyden of Oregon managed to attach an amendment requiring a warrant to eavesdrop on American citizens abroad. And as you know, Senator Dodd of Connecticut has promised to put a hold on this bad bill that Rockefeller has agreed to. And they closed the editorial this way. Otherwise, it was a very frustrating week in Washington. It was bad enough having a one-party government when Republicans controlled the White House and both houses of Congress. But the Democrats took over. And still, the one-party system continues. Again, the headline of that editorial, with Democrats like these, dot, dot, dot. Back to your calls now, and Linda is in her car on the way to Auburn today, and it's a beautiful day to be driving. Hi, Linda. Let's see, Linda going once. Linda left us. Linda, call us back. I'd love to talk with you. Line two is Cindy in Grandview, Washington. Hello, Cindy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I just want to say that our current government is operating outside the law. And I think everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, the regular politicians, the ones that the media is trying to sell us, Hillary, I don't think there'll be a change. So if Dodd is coming out and taking a stand for the rule of law, I think we need to all get behind him and make that change.
Well, Cindy, I do support these initiatives from Senator Dodd. He's the one, as I pointed out, who's been most critical of the Military Commissions Act. And so I give him a lot of credit for that. And I certainly don't mind stroking him and supporting him on this issue. It's hard for me to see that he can close the gap and really pick up any momentum in his run for president. And in some ways, I kind of wish he would drop out of the race and say, I'm going to concentrate on protecting and restoring the civil liberties of Americans.
Well, that sounds good. Who is it that's going to represent us as a president and make a change and get us, a hard left away from war and, taking over the world and controlling everything?
Well, Dennis Kucinich has most clearly stated the issues.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody that we could give a leg up to or a cash contribution to help support, and I'm not dismissing Senator Dodd, but uh-huh. Dennis Kucinich has been right on these issues from the beginning.
Yes.
He opposed the war. He voted against it. I don't know that he voted against the first Patriot Act, but he probably did. And, he's right on the issues of Iran. He's right on the issues of getting us out of Iraq. He's right on single-payer national health care coverage for every American.
Yes.
And so if there is somebody who's not in the media-selected front-running pack of three or four,
right.
he's the guy who I believe has it all on the issues.
Yeah, I agree. And, the people I talk to, a lot of people are of that same mind, but the media keeps, throwing these other things. But maybe there'll be a real surprise in the primaries. I hope so.
It is tough, Cindy, and let me just tell you where I'm at, and people are free to call and offer the same level of observation. At this point, if the Democratic primary were held in California tomorrow, mm-hmm. I would vote for Dennis Kucinich.
Yes.
Because there's nobody who's even coming close to Hillary in the polls, and so I would make a principled, not pragmatic vote there.
Yes.
If by the time February rolls around and we've seen, say, Edwards do pretty well in both, New Hampshire and Iowa,
mm-hmm.
And if he picks up some ground in South Carolina, because I would really like to see him demonstrate that he can win a southern state. He didn't do that as Kerry's running mate in 2004, and you can have some pretty good reasons why not.
Right.
But, we really need to see a Democratic candidate who can win some votes in the South, and I believe Edwards needs to demonstrate that. So my point is that if by February 5th, when we have the California presidential primary, John Edwards has closed the gap mm-hmm. and is moving up on Hillary Clinton, I would be inclined to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in my book, the worst thing that can happen is for Senator Clinton to become the Democratic nominee.
Right, right. It makes me quite suspicious when the media is pushing her on us so hard.
And why are you suspicious, Cindy? What's wrong with that? May I lead the witness?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we know. They don't want the Democrats in there. So I think they can beat her.
Well,
or if she were to be elected, I think she's got so much money from so many places that she's bought.
Well, I think she's conflicted and compromised in many ways. I don't believe, because of the high negatives that she shows in the national polls, that she can overcome that and grow her candidacy, build her political base beyond where it stands today. And I'm going to have to do some research tonight, and my computer at home's blown up. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I heard Tom Hartman this morning, and you know how you listen to the radio and you hear something. I didn't hear the whole segment uh-huh. of what poll he was citing. But he recited some recent stats that showed that in the matchups with the various Republican potential candidates, Giuliani, Romney, and Thompson,
uh-huh.
that John Edwards beat them all. And that Hillary did not. And the matchups were relatively close on the Democratic side, But as they were recited by Mr. Hartman, it showed that Edwards does have a significant advantage in those one-to-one matchups in the polls.
Well, in the in the past, as we've seen the Republicans do, anyone that they think that will beat them, you know, they'll assassinate their character and get them out of the running, as with Howard Dean, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to face him, and so he, you know, they got him out of there via the press. You know, I didn't get to decide that he shouldn't be in the running.
Mm-hmm.
It was on CNN over and over and over again, and he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either. I was just coming around to Dean. I supported Kucinich in 2004 as well. But again, for pragmatic considerations, I was preparing to vote for Dean in the California primary. And, of course, the media took care of that with the selective audio enhancement of the Dean scream in Iowa.
Yep. I'll tell you, you can't put anything past them.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, thanks for listening way up in the in Grandview, Washington.
Yes, love your program.
All right, great to hear from you today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now to Dave, just a little further north from me in Eureka. Hello, Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter, and Kucinich is also right on marriage equality, and Kucinich is also right on labor, NAFTA and GATT, he would end them.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, all the others, they kind of tap dance on all these issues, but he's right out there, and I think America knows it.
I agree, and we have this. It's so hard to deal with, Dave, because I'd like to be here just saying Kucinich is the man. He's going to go all the way, but as a realist and somebody who's watched this process more than once, I have to be honest that I feel that Kucinich is held back and marginalized by the media and by his own political party.
Well, it's worse than that. What they do is they enter these polling companies take their polls and put them into a computer. The computer has a modem, high-tech Patriot Act types sit right into the computer, and they drag Kucinich and Edwards way back, and they pump Hillary and Obama way up because that's who they want us to have. And they rig elections. Republicans cheat. I didn't want to be the one to tell you that.
Oh, you have burst more than one bubble, Dave.
Shattered your whole face.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I called, there's a wonderful YouTube video out right now. I don't know if you've seen it. But it's a Beaver Cleaver and the Cleaver family. And it's all dubbed in today's language. But Beaver, a very sophisticated young man, is talking about of all the harm and devastation that's being done to this country and how weak and inadequate the Democrats are to dealing with it. And Daddy Cleaver says, but wait now, Beaver, you need to, there is Dennis Kucinich. And, oh, yes, Dennis Kucinich. And so it then goes on for maybe a 10-minute commercial citing all the good of Dennis Kucinich.
And oh, okay.
Now, I had been sending it to people, and I no longer find any record of it on my computer, but I think it would be easy for somebody that has a search engine to bring up Beaver Kucinich on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I will check that out. Again, my computer at home has gone on the blink, but I'll stay a little after the show here and use one of my functional computers here at the office and see if I can check that out. Also, while we're talking about YouTube, I want to mention that there was further coverage of the story that Brad Friedman from Bradblog broke about this wacky guy at the Justice Department who has made these racist remarks. And it was picked up again over the weekend by the New York Times, and they failed to credit Bradblog. They say, oh, there's a video at YouTube. And for some reason, they just can't bring themselves to honor bloggers, or maybe it's Brad in particular because of the excellent work he's done on election integrity issues. But I did want to pass that along because Brad deserves more credit, and so does Larissa. For the work she did on Valerie Plame's story and identifying, well before Katie Couric did, like a year and a half, what the actual work that Valerie Plame Wilson did at the CIA was. Dave, thanks for your call today. Always great to hear from you. 888-5, Peter B., there's room for another caller or two, so get on the line and let's chat. 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
like people who talk funny. Listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
And let's also let you know that traffic is moving pretty good right now in Carmel. We had an earlier problem, northbound 1, just before Carmel Valley Road, but apparently everything's cleared off. Eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Eastbound 129, we had reports of a problem of slow traffic between Watsonville and Aromas. Also want to tell you about Highway 17 just before the Cats Restaurant, getting word of a problem there. Big Rig blocking a lane there. No other information at this point. Also want to tell you about Santa Cruz. We had a problem there, and unfortunately, let's forget about that. Let's go to Salinas. River Road at 68, traffic lights not working. Expect large delays right now. And in Gonzales, North 101 at 5th, we have a Big Rig that went off the roadway. It's on the off-ramp there.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour, and momentarily we're going to talk with Gary Chu about this powerful new Hollywood film called Rendition.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your loving in my box now, baby. Wrap it up.
All right, we will, but I got 8 more minutes. Come on. Frank in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
How's it going, Peter B?
Doing okay, thank you.
Well, I just was listening, and I told the screener that I listen to talk radio both on the right and the left quite a bit. I enjoy listening to it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's interesting that both ultra sides of the party, the ultra right and the ultra left, are not happy with the mainstream candidates that the parties are putting up, and it could really wind up in a very interesting election. And it seems like there's a lot of possibilities there, but you hate to see something happen like what happened with Nader and Gore,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lack of cohesion on your end of the party.
Well, I agree, and while the flirtation with independent or third party candidates is always tempting, I'm a hardcore realist, and you simply cannot win the states you need to pass muster in the Electoral College as an independent. And
right.
And so we're stuck with the two-party system, at least for now, and we're not getting very good choices. Yeah, I mean, my Republican neighbor, Hank, he's really frustrated with his choices this year.
Well, the neo, or I should say the Christian conservatives are threatening, and whether it's real or not, they're obviously not happy with the mainstream Republican candidates, and it could really hurt them if they do walk away as a bloc and try to support one of the independent candidates or try to run an independent candidate and make it easier for whatever the Democrats put up.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, Frank, thanks a lot for your call today. Great to hear from you, and call me again, will you?
Have a good one, Peter.
All right, great. We go to Sacramento now for Gary Chu. He's a film critic and a radio announcer, and he escaped from Tulsa. Gary, how are you doing today?
Peter, it's great to hear your voice again. I didn't really escape from Tulsa. It's a good town, but I'm here in a good town now.
Yes, you are. Well, you got a chance to see Rendition, and I'm glad to hear your comments because, for a change, I actually got to see this one before I get to hear your review.
Well, great.
I went out yesterday and saw it. I was disappointed that there were only 15 other people in the theater, but it was late afternoon on a Sunday, and there did appear to be people lining up in bigger numbers for the next showing. You have any idea what the weekend box office was for Rendition?
I don't have that information, Peter B., but I will look it up because that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that for today's chat with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we had the fairness doctrine today for commercial cable and television, we wouldn't need studios to make films like Rendition. The mainstream media just doesn't cover stuff like extraordinary rendition or other issues that especially affect the right to due process as well as privacy. By the way, in case you noticed this too, Peter B., extraordinary rendition was Peter Sarsgaard said in the film, his dialogue, that it started in the Clinton administration.
Yes,
so there is balance in the film.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got films now like In the Valley of Elah, Syriana, Babel, and A Mighty Heart, which are artful, cutting-edge cinema that really serves the population of a liberal democracy. Of course, the movie is about a guy, an American Egyptian, who is rendered or renditioned or whatever the verb is to an unknown country. We may have an idea where it is because the actor who plays the interrogator is an Israeli actor.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought it was Egypt.
You thought it was Egypt?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I didn't catch that. Okay.
Well, they went to great pains. The character who gets the treatment starts off in South Africa, and he's flying into the United States, and they nab him at Dulles Airport.
Right.
And then they render him on a corporate private lease jet to an unnamed place in North Africa.
Okay, I guess I was chewing my popcorn then or something. I didn't...
Well, and it's an inference I made really based on the facts that we do have a number of cases that have surfaced and been reported on where we did use Egypt as a place to interrogate individuals who could not be tortured in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really an important film. The movie does have flaws, however. Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't believe, was exceedingly convincing in his lead as the newly assigned operative who was a witness to that torture and interrogation.
I agree with you. I thought he did okay, but there were times when I wasn't sure of I don't think he really portrayed the torture that he experienced as an American watching an American be tortured whom he came to believe was innocent.
Right. I agree with you completely. Of course, Arkin and Streep, I thought they had fairly small parts, but of course, how can you go wrong with Arkin and Streep, with Arkin as a fictitious U.S. senator and Streep as a CIA chief?
Yeah.
I thought Peter Sarsgaard was good as the aide to the U.S. Senator Arkin.
And coming back to Meryl Streep for a moment,
sure.
I thought that she did an excellent job of chillingly offering the rationale that we really heard live and in color from Judge Mukasey, the next attorney general last week, when he said, well, if it's torture, it's unconstitutional. But he wouldn't really explicitly say that he believes, for example, waterboarding is constitutional. And I thought one of the most vivid scenes was when they waterboarded this guy in that underground torture chamber.
You know, I must confess, and I do so in my written review, which is at TulsaTVMemories.com, that I didn't watch I just shut my eyes and said to myself, it's only a movie, it's only a movie, which is ironic because it's not only a movie. It's happening.
Well, and for me, Gary, what's rewarding is that while Hollywood gave some of its usual shortcuts to a film like this, I thought they really brought the brutality and the unconstitutionality of it across on the screen very clearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the wider audience that will see this will get that and respond to it.
Me too. Yeah. Great to talk with you, Peter B.
Thank you, Gary. Good to have you on the program. We'll talk again soon. That's Gary Chu with a film review.
Happy trails to you.
It's Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Katrina Rill for a great production. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a full-fledged disaster for San Diego Mayor Jerry Sanders.
We have fires all over the county of San Diego, and we have fires in heavily populated areas.
And that's just part of Southern California's problem tonight. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker has the rundown.
The Witch Fire burning in San Diego County. Over 250,000 people evacuated and 10,000 acres burned. Too dangerous to count the structures lost. And the Buckwheat Fire in northern Los Angeles County. Over 27,000 acres burned. 25 structures lost. The Canyon Fire burning in Malibu, only 10% contained, and 2,400 acres already burned.
Dry conditions and strong wind are expected to persist for the next few days. San Diego County Sheriff William Colander says they're having trouble persuading some people to get out of their homes.
If they're asked to leave, advocate, we want them to leave. They cannot stay there in spite of that, and we don't want to come get them. We want them to go, and they have to do that to protect their families, themselves, and everyone.
Rescues, he says, divert precious resources and put rescuers at risk. The wildfires are already blamed for at least one death. President Bush today asked Congress for another $46 billion to fight the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
This funding is what General Petraeus and other military leaders say we need. And Congress ought to give it to them.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The costs of the war have been sharply rising and are now roughly $10 billion a month. This request, like all the others, is not paid for with new taxes or other budget cuts, so it adds directly to the national debt. House Democratic leaders say they won't even consider the president's request until next year, but have provided money and a temporary funding bill, so cash continues to flow into the war effort in the meantime.
Osama bin Laden tries to rally insurgents in Iraq with a new audio message.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. Speaking very clearly, and it does sound like bin Laden. He's calling on anti-American fighters to unite, admitting there have been mistakes and divisions. U.S. officials have been pointing out places where Iraqis in the Sunni minority have been turning against al-Qaeda, also Sunni Muslims, for being too radical and too violent. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The GOP could punish five states for moving up their primaries. Party leaders are thinking of cutting half their delegates.